Welcome, I'm Cliff Hedges, and this is Pastor Cliff's Notes. This is a podcast where we're studying the Word of God. We're looking at the Bible in order to be better followers of Christ, in order to know God's message revealed to us through His Word. We're working our way through 1 John. This is a letter that the Apostle John wrote to a group of churches in the area of Ephesus late in the first century. We are in episode 21, and we're looking at 1 John chapter 3, verses 7 through 10. Let's read the passage. John writes, "Children, let no one deceive you. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who commits sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God was revealed for this purpose, to destroy the devil's works. Everyone who has been born of God does not sin, because his seed remains in him. He's not able to sin because he has been born of God. This is how God's children and the devil's children become obvious. Whoever does not do what is right is not of God, especially the one who does not love his brother or sister." This is a fairly straightforward passage, but it's got a lot of nuances to it, a lot of things in it. So we'll work our way through this, see what we can make of it. He begins with his term children again. Several times he refers to the people he's writing to as children or little children, people he is very fond of, people he feels a very special responsibility for. John's a famous guy. John was one of the followers of Jesus, one of the original 12, one of the apostles, and that by this time John's the only surviving one of them. John knows a lot about Jesus. And John is using this influence to guide the people of these churches. So he refers to them as his children. He cares about them. And he says, let no one deceive you. Well, how would you not let someone deceive you? Someone may try to deceive you, but how would you not let them deceive you? Well, I think the best way to not let somebody deceive you is by knowing the truth. The issue that John is dealing with are these false teachers, these antichrists, the people who were at one point part of the church, but started teaching false doctrine. They started teaching lies about Jesus. They started teaching lies about God, and they're leading people astray. They've since left the church and are now drawing people away. It's very dangerous teaching. And so John says, don't let them deceive you. Well, the way you would not let them deceive you is by knowing the truth. And the truth is not this secret knowledge that the false teachers are trying to get people to follow, this special knowledge that only the elites can know, but just the plain truth of God revealed through Christ and revealed through the apostles of Christ, and that we now have as the Bible. This is how you know the truth, by knowing the Word of God, knowing what God has told us, not what some little group of people are saying. Well, this is the real truth. Well, let's go with what God has clearly told us. He says, don't let anybody deceive you. And then he says, the one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. Now remember the lie. The lie that the false teachers are propagating, it doesn't really matter how you live. It just matters that you're correctly spiritual. Now, the lie they're proclaiming is that you can be righteous without practicing righteousness. That is, you can pretty much do whatever you want as long as you have the special knowledge. And John's disagreeing with this. He's saying, no, followers of Christ actually follow Christ. Followers of Christ do what Christ did. And this practice, what we do, is the evidence of the inner reality of our lives. Now, this is the lie they are propagating. I often refer to the big lie, and that's the lie we see in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. Starts out with Eve, where the tempter, the serpent, Satan, is trying to lead them astray. And what is the big lie? He begins with the question, did God really say? And Eve begins with, well, yes, God did say. And then Satan challenges God's motivation. He says, well, God's trying to hold out on you. And eventually, Eve succumbs to the temptation and disobeys God, and Adam goes along with her. But the big lie, did God really say? And then with, well, God didn't really say that, or God's holding out on you. That's the big lie. It's always questioning, did God really say? And that's where if we don't let anybody deceive us because we know the truth, we know what God said. And so then when we're tempted and presented with that question, did God really say? If we know what God has said, we can say, yes, God did say, and that's what I'm going to do. So the one who does what is right is righteous just as he is righteous, just as Jesus is righteous. That is, followers of Christ actually follow Christ. And this is the proof that they are followers of Christ because they're following Christ. Okay, then in verse 8 he says, the one who commits sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. This is the first time we see John using the word the devil. So we had to pause right here and maybe think about the devil and make sure that our thinking is correct. Biblically, what do we know about the devil? Well, we know he has a variety of names. The devil, Satan, the deceiver, the accuser, serpent. There's a lot of names given to him. But as we piece all together all the teachings the Bible gives us about Satan, begin with the idea of demons. We need to make sure that we're very clear about who the devil is. The devil is a created being. He is a fallen angel. Sometimes in popular thought, it's viewed as there's these two forces, one good, one evil. And as God is the good force, Satan is the bad force. And so you have this cosmic eternal struggle, God versus Satan. Well, there is a struggle, but we've got to remember it's not that God is the light, Satan is the dark, God is the good, Satan is the bad. Satan is a created being under the authority of God. God created everything, and everything was good. And the best we can figure out from the accounts we see in the scripture is some of the angels rebelled against God, and their sin was pride. They thought too highly of themselves and wanted to elevate themselves to equality with God. And because of that, they're cast from the presence of God. They're kicked out of heaven, essentially. And so the demons are fallen angels. They are angels who sinned and have been expelled from the presence of God. In a similar fashion, you know, when humans sinned, they were expelled from the presence of God. But the thing about humans is we're given the opportunity to be redeemed, to be reconciled with God. There's no evidence ever of any angels being given the opportunity to be reconciled with God. And so you have these fallen angels, and it seems that Satan is the leader of them, or the most powerful of them. It's not that you have good God with his good angels, and then evil Satan with his demons. The demons are just fellow fallen angels. Satan seems to be in charge of them, or to be the preeminent one, but Satan didn't create the demons. He is one of them. He just happens to be the chief among them. So Satan only operates under the authority of God. We see the great picture of this in the book of Job, when Satan somehow comes before God in the setting of heaven. And God points out Job and says, what a great guy Job is. And Satan challenges God and challenges the faith of Job, and God allows Satan to attack Job. And through it, the faith of Job is shown, and God rewards Job. So everything Satan does is under the permissive will of God. God is not locked in this eternal struggle with Satan. And we know from the revelation of the end times that Satan will be destroyed in the end. Satan's under the control of God. John introduces Satan, or the devil, for the first time. But his main thrust here is not so much the devil, but it's people. And he says, those who are following, in verse 7, those who are following Christ actually do what Christ did, do what Christ said. Then in verse 8, the ones who commit sin, they are following the devil. Because the devil's a sinner, he sinned from the beginning. And this was the whole reason that Jesus came, was to deal with sin. So sin's a big deal. Jesus came to destroy the devil's works, that is, to destroy sin, to rescue people from sin. So we either follow Christ or we follow Satan. He says in verse 9, everyone who has been born of God does not sin because his seed remains in him. And he's not able to sin because he's been born of God. Now, the word used here, has been born, in the original language, in the Greek, this is a perfect passive participle. Point being, there's meaning to that. It means it's a past action, but has a continuing effect. So, has been born of God means was born again, but the effect of that is a continuing thing. So we're born again, but still abiding in that relationship with God. Anyone who's like that does not sin, because God's seed, that is the essence. Now, what exactly it means, that seed? I think it just means that we're now related to God. And because of that, we're not able to sin. That is, not able to carry on a habitual practice of sin, because we're children of God. Then there's a great statement here, verse 10. This is how God's children and the devil's children become obvious. The proof of who your daddy is, well, who do you look like? Who do you act like? What value system have you adopted? That's the evidence of who your daddy is. Are you following God or following Satan? Do you look like God or do you look like Satan? Are you following God's value system or are you following Satan's value system? So the question there, who's your daddy? It's one of two. It's either God or it's Satan. Then that last half of verse 10, he says, whoever does not do what is right is not of God, especially the one who does not love his brother or sister. We've seen this a lot in the New Testament. We see it a lot in John's writing, this idea of love one another, referring to brothers and sisters in Christ, referring to the church, the unity of the body of Christ. I think a rephrasing of this would be that the evidence of being in God's family is how you relate to the people in God's family. Do you love the people in God's family? Do you love your brothers and sisters in Christ or not? The evidence of being part of the family of God is how you relate to the family of God. Now, John is not saying here that a Christian can never sin, but he's saying if we live in a pattern of sin, if we refuse to do what Jesus did, refuse to do what Jesus said, continue to do what I want to do, then that's the evidence of my parentage. That's the evidence of who I'm following. And the challenge for us who are followers of Christ, it really comes back to that same challenge. Are we following Christ? And that goes back to, how are we not going to be led astray? We're going to know the Word of God, so we will recognize a lie and not fall for it. Thanks for joining me. Join me next time as we continue to work our way through 1 John.